Mary was honored and was filled with joy because she knew she would give birth to the Messiah, the one God promised to make things right for his people. So she sang, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones.
He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever."
The coming of Jesus is the greatest cause for hope, the greatest expression of love, and the greatest reason for joy in our lives.
From the day of his birth until today, and from now until Jesus comes again, we share with each generation God's mercy to those who honor and trust in him.
Prepare the way of the Lord. We light this candle in joy, the joy that we have in Jesus, our Savior.
Good morning, and thank you for being here with us at West Valley Presbyterian Church. We're so grateful to see all of you.
Good morning, boys and girls. We're glad to have you here. Do you see all those wonderful presents and the Christmas tree? I think Santa came early, huh? I wonder what's in these presents. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping for an iPad.
Huh? I want an iPad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what we have in these gifts. Well, Juliet, can you show what's in there? What do you have in there?
Ornaments.
What's in the package? Take it out and show us.
The blessing in our lives, just like the tree, wouldn't be complete without ornaments. Our lives wouldn't be complete without God's blessings. God showers us with his blessings because he loves us so much. Each time you put an ornament on your tree, think of a blessing that God has given you. Deuteronomy 16:17. All must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God.
What's this one?
The bell rings out to God.
To guide
lost shepherd back to the fold. Signifying that all are in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus is our shepherd, and he laid down his life for us so that we may spend eternity with him in heaven. He is calling us to follow him through his world. Are you going to listen?
John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
The origin of Santa Claus comes from St. Nicholas, a Christian from the 4th century bishop during the Roman Empire known for secretly giving gifts to children and the poor. When you see Santa Claus in the shopping mall, remember the kind generosity of Saint Nicholas who helped the needy just like Jesus. How will you help the less fortunate this Christmas?
Matthew 24:40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The wreath with its evergreen branches is round, having no beginning or end, just as there's no beginning or end of Jesus' eternal love for us. It looks the same throughout. God's word will always be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
John 17:17. Use the truth to make them holy. Your word is truth.
Hold a candy cane upright and it looks like a shepherd's crook. The shepherds were one of the few people who were there who were able to see baby Jesus in Bethlehem. If you turn it upside down, it also looks like a J for Jesus. The colors are also symbolic. The red represents the blood Jesus shed on us on the cross, and the white represents his purity. This delicious, simple candy is so profoundly symbolic of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Why did God send an angel to tell the lowly shepherds the message about Jesus' birth? Frighten them as they watched their sheep? Because the message God had about the birth of Jesus was for everyone. All the people, rich or poor, God looks at their heart, not at what the world looks at.
Luke 10:11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord."
Holly leaves are sharp like the crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head when he was crucified. The berries symbolize the blood that shed for you and I to save us from our sins. The next time you see a decoration with holly on it, remember what was done so that Jesus can spend eternity with you.
Matthew 27:29. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on its head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him and saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." An evergreen tree has a very appropriate name. It is evergreen, always green. The color green represents new life, and the tree points up to heaven. It symbolizes our everlasting life with Jesus Christ.
John 6:33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
The star is a heavenly sight of prophecy fulfilled ages ago. The shining hope of all mankind, God led the wise men with the star's guiding light to the greatest decision known to man. The silver Savior we know now have his world as our guiding light to lead us to be with him in heaven. Are you going to follow him?
Matthew 2:9-10. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy.
If I light a candle in a dark room, the room has light. There may still be darkness, but the light overpowers it. I can be the single light in a world of darkness, but I must share my light with the world so the light increases. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
The bows and ribbons used to wrap presents symbolizes how Jesus ties us as Christians together in his love. We may not be the same family, but we're all the family of God. Jesus is the ribbon that binds us together.
Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony.
These days, many people seem to think that getting presents is the greatest thing about Christmas. Others think that presents have nothing to do with Christmas. Well, they're both wrong. The Magi came to see Jesus when he was born and gave him presents. They offered gold, paying him tribute as a king, frankincense, burned to worship God, and myrrh, used for embalming the dead. These wise men knew that Jesus was a king and would die for their sins. How can anyone, with the knowledge we have now, not believe? Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down to worship him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Well, thank you, girls and boys. Those are all wonderful gifts. So not only have you told everyone about all the symbols of Christmas and what they all mean, so it lets us all remember when we see these things are everywhere we go during Christmas time. But I have a question. Like, these are all great gifts, but what is the best gift of all?
I think it's Jesus.
Yes, of course. It's the reason for the season.
Yay.
Thank you, boys and girls. You can go,
sit
with
your
family.
You go sit with your family now. The children offered a wonderful description of lots of one great Christmas symbols, and I want to share with you one more. If you look over here at the Advent wreath, you will not see a pink candle. It's rose. That may be a minor distinction for you and for me, but that rose-colored candle, and a nice way to remember this is that rose also starts with the letter R, and so is the word rejoice. This is Gaudete Sunday, and Gaudete is Latin for the word rejoice. And it is intended to be an interruption to the purple season, the penitential season, the season in which we live with a sense of longing and waiting and preparation for the coming of the Messiah, the Deliverer. The rose-colored candle says to us, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the hardships that we experience in life, there are moments that we are called to rejoice nevertheless. Nevertheless, we're going to rejoice right now because our Deliverer is coming. Because God is making a way to us. Because the Christ child who will be born a king is going to usher in a new way of living, and we are all being invited into it. So we celebrate and we rejoice. So it's good, isn't it, to sing songs that make us want to clap, to hear our kids share their version of the Christmas story in a way that makes us want to applaud, to greet each other with warmth in the knowledge that while life is not the way we are ready, the way we want it to be, the way we long for it to be, God is still at work. And that, in narrative terms, in theological terms, is what we often refer to as the now and the not yet. We live in the now and the not yet. Now we know of Christ's coming. We who have the benefit of history to be able to look back on the birth of Christ, that is what's true now. But his coming again is the not yet. The culmination, the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament about the Messiah, that truth is present with us. That's now. But the full expression of that is not yet. And so it was for Mary. Mary was in the now and the not yet. Those 9 months of waiting when a baby's going to come, but the baby's not here yet. And she had just had a wonderful encounter with her cousin Elizabeth, where the two of them together are celebrating this now and not yetness. Both of them are pregnant. Both of them didn't plan to be. Both of them were living life in a certain way, accepting that they have an appropriate place for life. And now it's been interrupted. There are some beautiful interruptions that happen in our lives. And when an interruption comes, there's no telling what will happen next. Amen? How do you take interruptions in your life? Are interruptions the sort of thing you look forward to? Imagine a prisoner in a jail cell playing cards with his cellmate. The warden comes up with two guards at his side and says, "You've been granted clemency, and you're being released." And the bars slide open, and the prisoner looks up and says, "Great, just let me finish this hand." Or maybe somebody who's waiting on a heart transplant, and they've been on the transplant list for years, and suddenly they get the phone call, "A heart's been made available to you. You need to head down to the hospital immediately." And they say, "Could we put this off till next week? Because I'm binge watching my favorite show on Netflix right now." It seems a little ridiculous, right? But that is the truth of the matter is that when interruptions come into our lives, even good ones, they begin to disorient us in all sorts of really important ways. Ways that we both long for and ways that are both difficult. Because all the things that we talked about last week in Psalm 22 about remember if you were with us last week, we heard the psalmist crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet I will put my trust in you. You restore me. You rescue me. You provide for me. And that was a psalm of lament, of crying out, I'm longing, I'm longing, I'm longing. All those same themes in Psalm 22 get restated again in Mary's Magnificat, which is what we heard at the beginning of our service during the lighting of the Advent candles. The Magnificat is Mary's expression. Now that she and Elizabeth have talked, now that that the two of them are aware of God's big interruption in their lives, now that they are both aware that everything's going to change from this point on, Mary expresses that in this beautiful bit of poetry, this prophetic word, not just for Christians, but for the whole of humanity. Everything is going to be different from now on. Are you open to having everything be different from now on? Is that the kind of interruption that you would welcome? Or would you sort of say, well, maybe a little later. Maybe when I've had more time to prepare. Maybe when everything is just so. As I finish this reflection, I'm going to read Mary's Magnificat again to you. I think it's worth hearing and meditating upon. And I'm going to want to invite you to hear it as a prayer. And we're going to listen for the ways in which this prayer speaks to our hearts and connects to our longings, and the way that it interrupts things, the way that it challenges us, that challenges our notion of the way the world is or the way the world should be. Because Mary's Magnificat is intended to both be a cause for celebration for some of us and a cause for concern for others. Because Mary is going to celebrate that like herself, there's a whole class, a whole category of human beings that have been ignored, that have been dismissed, that don't matter. And now, because of the child growing inside of her, they all matter forever. They will always have a place in God's kingdom. And Jesus is going to come in, and as he ushers in his kingdom ministry, he's going to quote Isaiah and basically say the same thing. I have come in order to restore righteousness. I'm coming to make everything the way it's supposed to be. And that is going to be a big interruption. And if you remember how that turned out for Jesus, they promptly threw him out of the synagogue. They didn't like to hear that so much. We need to hear Mary's Magnificat in the same way. What are the parts of this that I'm happy about? And what are the parts that recognize that my place of privilege, my place of comfort is being disrupted? And I'm going to have to accept that whether I'm ready for it or not. As you know, many of you know, I commute. I have an hour to kind of get myself ready and prepare and think about the sermon before I get here. Sometimes I do that in silence, just thinking and praying. Sometimes I'm listening to a story. Sometimes I'm listening just to the radio. And this morning I was listening to NPR. And so I've got this text in the back of my head, sort of mulling on it, and I began to notice how every single story in the news report for a solid hour spoke to this need for the big interruption. The first story was about a French filmmaker, and she was making a film, a fictional film, but that was actually intended to accurately describe what it was like for the hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees who now live on the streets of Beirut. And she tells a story through the eyes of a child. And the story that she tells is basically a child going to court into Beirut, into a Lebanese court, and suing his parents. And he says, and the idea is, he says, I'm suing my parents for bringing me into this world. Because there's no place for me in this world. She described spending time with children on the streets of Beirut who have absolutely no future to look forward to, who will spend the whole of their lives just sitting on a street corner trying to beg. And one of them, I always try to ask them, are you happy to be alive? And more often than not, they say no. And one said, I'm just an insect. I don't matter. Nobody cares about me. Mary's Magnificat is a direct declaration of the fact that God has come into the world so that nobody ever feels like they don't matter. You following that? And then we have the stories about what's happening on our border. There was a story about that. There was a story about the environmental conference held among the nations to develop a voluntary way of attending to climate change, figuring out how to interrupt the climate change in a way to avoid the catastrophic stuff that now will be inevitable if human beings don't do something really different. Talk about the need for a big interruption, amen. Even that global environmental issue, I hear Mary's Magnificat speaking to that, saying, God's come into the world to interrupt this and to bring and to restore creation to its proper place and human beings to our proper relationship with that creation, to steward the creation once again in the way that God intended when we hear God describe that charge in the garden. Do you see this? There's this enormous story. There's this enormous timeline of human history, and Christ has come into it to interrupt it. And we look forward to Christ coming again to interrupt it fully. And in between, we are being invited to be interrupted over and over again for that sake. Last story, just before I got here, was the story of make sure I get this right. It was called a do-a-thon. Does anybody here know about the do-a-thon? The do-a-thon is apparently a bunch of folks in Silicon Valley decided they were going to go up to Butte County and they were going to bring all of their coding skills, their ham radio skills, their architecture skills, everything that they know how to do well and make a good living for themselves here in Silicon Valley doing. They went up to Butte County to meet with people and just help people begin to think about and plan for how they were going to live long term and stay in the community. They recognized that if they needed to do a do-a-thon for the weekend that was just going to help people think about how to rebuild their lives up there. And they wanted to bring their resources to that. And they said, this isn't the first time this isn't the only time we're going to do this. We're going to keep doing this over the course of the year. And I thought, my gosh, if that's not a beautiful illustration of what the church should be about, I don't know. The church should be having regular do-a-thons in which we meet people whose lives have been profoundly interrupted in terrible ways and begin to share with them the good news, as Mary does, that, hey, I know that it's really hard right now. I know it's horrible. This is the kind of interruption you never want in your life. But there's a different kind of interruption, a larger kind of interruption, a more permanent kind of interruption of Christ coming in and making all things new. That is what we proclaim at Christmas. Can I please get an amen? You're going to start learning how to do this with me. So now that you have a sense of this, now that you understand what Mary's up to, what the Magnificat is really about, I want you to hear it again. I'm going to read it slowly, so that we can just let it sink into our hearts and our minds. This is Holy Spirit work. God's inspired word given to Mary, put in writing, provided for us, and the Holy Spirit still speaks through us too, through it. And so my invitation to you this morning as you hear this is to allow it to just kind of work its way in. Yep, it's words, but don't overthink it. Allow for the possibility that there's going to be a word or a phrase, an image, something that's going to grab your heart. And if it does, you can stop listening. Once you have one of those words or phrases, if it gets your heart, just don't worry about the rest of it. Just stay with that, because that's the gift of the Holy Spirit to you this morning. You follow? The Holy Spirit wants to say more to you through God's word, just for that little word or phrase. I want you to have that and take that with you this morning. Take it with you into our brunch. Take it with you into the balance of this weekend and rest of Advent. Just hold on to it. Because when that is planted in us, that is when things really start to change. I want to read this for us. And I'm going to give you a last little quote I have from one of my favorite authors. And we'll let that be our closing prayer. Follow along on the screen if that helps you, or just close your eyes prayerfully to receive God's word this morning. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to his ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Lord, hear our prayer. Hear the prayers of our hearts that come up as we meditate upon that word. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "On the one hand, Mary was just a girl, an immature and frightened girl who had the good sense to believe believe what an angel told her in what seemed like a dream. On the other hand, she was the mother of the Son of God, with faith enough to move mountains, to sing about the victories of her son as if he were already at the right hand of his father instead of a dollop of cells in her womb. When we allow God to be born in us, There is no telling. No telling at all what will come out. Amen. Friends, would you stand with me, please, for the benediction? And now, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I charge you with all that is within you to rejoice. Rejoice in the now in which God is present. Rejoice in the not yet in which the fullness of what Christ intends to accomplish will be done. Rejoice in all that you long for to be fulfilled. Rejoice that God, who is in heaven, has come down, dwelt among women and men, and is bringing all things into fullness. Rejoice, my friends, and share your joy with the world. Go in peace. Amen.